Okay, good evening. In the past few shiurim, where we were discussing the halachas of not bar not, we went through the different opinions, both with regard to Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, and we're not going to sum that up again. I think we went through that a number of times, but the basic idea was that although the halacha is that even the flavor of an isser is usser, and it's not just the actual mamashos of the isser, the flavor of the isser as well is usser. That's the concept called tam ke'ikr. So therefore, if you have something which is usser, which falls into your pot of food cooking, then even if you removed the actual isser, if it was there long enough to be able to transfer tam, to transfer flavor into your dish, it becomes usser. But we did explain that there is a limit to how far that taste can travel. If the taste needs to make a number of stops along the way, so then we're going to call that a not bar not. It's going to be a second generation flavor. In other words, you have food in a pot, which extracted food from the pot, but the pot itself only got the food from a previous cooking. It's already traveling too many places, too many stops along the way. The tam becomes tam kalush, and therefore cannot create a new isser. This is relevant only with regard to basar b'chalav, because there you need to have two legitimate taimim, you have to have basar, you have to have legitimate basar, a legitimate chalav to be mixed together to create a new isser, which is a chiddush. The Torah teaches us a chiddush. You take two dvarim heter and mix them together and create an isser. There you have to have real, legitimate, bona fide basar and bona fide chalav. But if it's going to be just a second generation flavor, it can't create a new isser. When it comes to isura, for example, if it was chelev, or if it was chazer, it was nevela, or anything like that, the halacha would be, even if it transfers a lot of times, there is no limit. And the tam always makes it usser. We did mention one sheet in the Rishonim who disagrees with that, but we also mentioned that we don't paskin like that. What we're going to be discussing today is an exception to that rule. Now, it's important to understand there are two separate chumras with regard to the idea of a davar charef. The concept of davar charef is well known, but the details of davar charef are not necessarily as well known. It's important to understand there are two separate halachas with regard to the concept of a davar charef, which means a sharp food. And a sharp food does have some exceptions to some of the rules that we learn, but we're going to see that it's very important to keep those two rules separate and understand where we're going to differentiate between the two of them. The first one I wrote on the paper is Chumra Aleph B'davar Charef is She'ein Matirin Tampagum B'keli Eini Ben Yoimai. What is that? That means we learned all the way at the beginning of this series. We learned, when we were learning about the halacha of tam, we said it's not only if you have an actual piece of isser that falls into your food, but if you have isser which lended its flavor into a pot, and the pot itself is now going to lend its flavor into the food, that's a problem. That's the concept of a treifa pot. That's the concept of a milchik pot. That's the concept of a fleshik pot. We also mentioned that tam pagum cannot usher food. Something which is tam pagum, flavor which has gone sour, no longer ushers food. When does it go sour? So some foods can inherently be tam pagum, either because they could be rotten, or because, as it says, certain types of shkots and veramasim give a bad flavor in general, so they're considered tam pagum. And then there's an idea of Einai ben yaymai. That means if you have flavor which gets absorbed into a pot, after a 24-hour period, the flavor in the pot starts to go lifgam. So now if you're going to cook something in that pot, it's not mutl l'chadchila to cook there. It's a takana atu ben yaymai. But if you did cook something in a treifa pot, which is einai ben yaymai, or if you cooked something, you cooked something milchik in a fleshig pot, which is einai ben yaymai, it wouldn't become asr. Now that pot's going to need to be kashered, because now you have two different blias in that pot. You have blias of basar and blias of challah, so the pot is treif. But it's not going to asher the food. That's the idea. The idea is that even though flavor gets absorbed into a pot, or it can get absorbed into a spoon, or it can get absorbed into a plate, or so on and so forth, the halacha is after 24 hours, it becomes an einai ben yaymai, and that means the flavor that's going to be expelled from the pot is not going to be enough to create a new isser. The exception to that is davar charef. And let's see this. The source number one, ve'elu dvarim shel oed dekechavim asurim ve'ein oisrin iser hana. This is talking about stuff which belongs to avodah zara. And one of the things that it mentions there is courage shel chiltus. Now this, I don't know exactly the translation, but I understand it to be like a horseradish, like that thing that we use on Pesach. Not everyone uses it on Pesach at night by the Seder. Really, really sharp. A really sharp food.
The root.
The root, yep. And the Gemara says over there in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Tesemer Aleph, a courage shel chiltus, my taima, why is it aser? Mishum, demafsiki leib zakin, he cuts it with a knife. Afal gav, even though the Amar Mar noisim tam lifgam mutter, even though we know the halach is noisim tam lifgam is mutter, and that means the knife, even though it did not have any fresh flavor in it, agav chorfe de chaltisa, mechalyele shamnu nisa, vevile kinesim tam lishvach. So this is the concept that you cut something very sharp. It has the ability to transform the flavor which is absorbed into this pot, the flavor which would normally be expelled from it as tam pagum, the sharpness of this food could transform that flavor into tam shvach. Okay, that's concept number one. And even though an ein binyame keli generally could only expel tam pagum, a sour taste, a sour flavor, that's only true when you're cutting normal foods. But if you're cutting a davar charef, it does something which is called mechalyele l'shvach. It kind of cleanses that flavor. There's a cleansing process that happens through that sharp food that you're cutting, and it now transforms that flavor into being a beneficial flavor, a good flavor, and it's going to be asr even though it's not a ben yomim. So that's the first thing. Clearly, in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Gimel, in Yeridea Sifav, it says yesh mishoemer shim samu pilpulin bekederu shel iser she'ein abas yoyma hakol asr. The chorfei meshavile l'shvach. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha in Siman Kuf Gimel. There is talking about hot peppers, and you cook it in that pot. The sharpness, the strength of those hot peppers are able to transform the flavor of that pot into tam shvach and cause an issus. That's the first halacha. Very clear. Even though the halacha is an eini binyamin, only gives off flavor which is called tam pagum, if you're going to use an eini ben yomai to either cook or to cut a davar charef, a very sharp fruit or vegetable or item, the halacha is, I don't know if there are sharp fruit, I mean, it could be some of them, we'll get to that soon, but the idea is it could transform that flavor into being tam shvach. The second halacha is chumra beis v'davar charef lematir not bar not. All these halachas that we mentioned before, that second generation flavor, in other words, that the flavor of milk takes a stop along the way in a pot and then goes ahead and transforms its flavor into the food. Not transforms, it transmits its flavor into the food. It's going to be called a not bar not, and it can't create a new basar b'chalav. That's only true when you're not dealing with a davar charef. What's the source to this halacha? We have to find that source, and we're going to see that it's controversial. Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Amar Chizkiya Mishum Abaya. Hilchaso, what's the halacha? Dagim Sha'alu Bekaira Mutra Loich L'Mekutach. We saw this halacha previously. A fish which you are going, which you place on a dish. Now that dish was used for fleishigs. You're allowed to eat that fish with cheese. Ke. Sorry, I'm. Tznain. Sorry, I went to the wrong line. Tznain. That's the original halacha of Naparnat. The original halacha of Naparnat is a fish that's placed on a fleishig plate, boiling hot piece of fish on a fleishig plate. You're allowed to add cheese to that fish. Tznayin shechatchu besakin shechatach babasar, a radish that you cut with a fleishig knife. Aser loich lebekutach. It is aser to eat that radish with the same dairy dip. In other words, you have a piece of fish just placed on a hot plate. Halacha is, sorry, not a hot plate, but a hot piece of fish placed on a milk, hot piece of fish placed on a fleishig plate, you're allowed to add cheese to that piece of fish, it's fine. However, that same cheese, or that same dairy dish that you want to add to your radish, would be usser if you cut that radish with a fleishig knife. Okay? What's the reason for that? Gemara says, V'hani milit tznoin da'agav chorfei bala. That's only referring to its tznoin, to a radish because it's very sharp, so it's able to be bileya. Avokisha is cucumbers, gar libe paskvach, you just peel back a little bit of the fat that might be on it, and you just eat it. In other words, a clear distinction between a cucumber and a radish. If you cut a radish, which is a davar charev, it's sharp. You cut it with a knife that was used for fleishigs. Halacha is the radish now becomes fleishigs. You cannot dip that radish into sour cream. If you cut a cucumber with that same knife, peel back a little bit of the cucumber, and then you can have that cucumber with sour cream.
So if the knife was clean, you slow peel back.
So let's see what this is talking about. Rashi writes as follows, and this is going to be very important. Rashi explains, Hilkach, Dagmash Allah Bakala Mut Bekaira Mutra Lechlam Bakuta Kata Omar De Nosin Tam Abomina Mamash Al Nosin Tam Habominosin Tam the Stam Kaira Makanach Mishum Mishumana Karashala Mishumias. A normal Kaira, he says something very interesting. A normal Kaira, a normal plate, is generally going to be washed off because nobody wants to use dirty plates. So therefore your piece of fish that goes on the plate, we assume it went on, even though the pot was a fleishig plate. We assume that the plate was clean. So we assume that your piece of fish that you took off the grill and put onto your plate went onto a clean plate, and therefore it's only going to extract tam from the plate. That's fine. Aval esakin pa'amim shamnunis karosh aleha. A knife very often has shamnunis, fat from meat, which hardened on it. The ainay nicker, you can't really see it. Ukashachaitach bitznoin have been nice and tam habam minamamish. You have flavor which comes from a mamish. Now Rashi is pointing something out which is very important. We have to kind of move back a number of years to understanding what this was talking about. Why is it that you have shuman karash, hardened fat on your knife? Rabbi Rav Berkowitz would always explain that sakin was something which was not Rav Berkowitz in Baltimore, Berkowitz Meretz Yisrael. A sakin was something which was used for different purposes. It was sharp, they used it to cut, but also they had these long knives that basically was a long piece of metal. They would sharpen it when they needed to cut, but it also served as a spit that they would roast on. So they would put meat on that knife, and they would roast it over the fire. Now that knife was dirty by the time you finished roasting it. They didn't have palm olive where you could just take a very sharp soap and some good sponges and clean it off. You didn't have running water. So very often, it sat there for a while, and it wasn't easy, especially since you were sharpening it yourself at home. Sometimes there were nicks in it, and there were all kinds of places where there would be shuman, there would be fat from meat that got stuck in there, and it would harden in there. It would be very difficult to clean it off. So therefore,
stick it back in the fire and burn it off.
So if they would do that, if they did libun, then it would do that, but they didn't necessarily do that every time. It was a process. You know, they did it when they needed to. But the point just is that cleaning a knife was a much more of a labor-intensive process than cleaning a plate. A plate, you finish eating, you wipe it off. You wipe it off with a cloth or a little bit of water. You can clean it off. A knife really required intense cleaning. And therefore, Rashi says, there was shuman karish on it. There was actual mamushas. There was actual fat there. That's the first understanding. And this doesn't really teach us all that much about a davar charev. However, Rashi continues, he says, V'oid, mishum chorfei, bala tfei mi dogim ha-roizchen, v'agav duchgu de sakina, palat sakina o balat znoin. Says Rashi, the second point over here is, that forget about the fact that it's a knife. You're taking this knife, you are shoving it in to the radish, and the radish is sharp. So the combination of a hard push through the radish with the fact that the radish is sharp, it can actually extract flavor from the knife, even if there wasn't any fat on the knife. This will be the source of the davar charev extracting flavor from the knife, even though under normal circumstances it would be mutter. It would be a not bar not. It would be fine. When it comes to the davar charev, it's going to be a problem. Now,
you didn't discuss anything about the temperature of the knife, though.
The knife is cold, and the radish is so cold. Everything's cold.
Benyamin, we said before, the chumrah is Benyamin, but we're talking here, regardless of whether or not it's Benyamin.
So that, we're not, I didn't mention that yet. We'll get there soon. We're assuming now it's a Benyamin. Now, I'm going to skip a lot of the back and forth, but I included it on the sheet. There's a Prichadash, a Primagadim, and a lot And there's a bit, very big problem that's going to come up, because we're going to see now in source number 6 that the Mechaber paskins like this. The Mechaber paskins in source number 6, Tznain Oisilka, a beet or a radish, Shachatcham Basakin Shabasar, which you cut with a fleshig knife, Ben Yoimai, was used that day. Oi, She'ein Mekunach, it's not clean, Asr Lechel Mechalav. So either it's a clean Ben Yoimai knife, or it's unclean, it doesn't make a difference when you used it, because it's unclean and has fat on it. You cut a radish with it, it's asr to eat it with chalav. Now, we have a problem here, because the Mechaber taught us that the halacha of not parnat is even when you cook it, even when you roast it. So clearly the Mechaber is of the opinion that a davar charif, a sharp food, has the ability to extract from a knife more than cooking does. And that's a big problem. The Pri Chadash basically disagrees with the Mechaber, because he disagrees because he says he says for himself. He says this halacha cannot be, it cannot be that the Mechaber holds that davar charif is going to be stronger than cooking. And he says, Pukhazi, it just doesn't work that way. It's just that davar charif is not stronger than cooking. But the Mechaber himself, in Shulchan Aruch, he writes this halacha and he paskins that a davar charif wipes away the halacha of not bar na. So all we learned with regard to not bar na, that a second generation flavor cannot create an isser basar b'chalav, that's not true when cutting a sharp food like a radish. Cut a radish with a knife that got its flavor from something else earlier, the taste transfers into the tznayin, into that radish. Now your radish becomes fleishig. You cannot dip that radish into sour cream. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Ramah goes further and says, "Yesh Eimim Du Hadin Le'Ein." I'm sorry. Mechaber himself writes, "Yesh Eimim." Some say this halacha is true even if the knife is a second Einoi Ben Yoimai. Even if the knife was not used that day, the knife was used in the beginning of the week. Okay, it's right now. It's Tuesday evening, Sunday morning. You used a knife to cut a hot piece of meat. Now Tuesday evening, you take the same knife and you cut a radish. The halacha is that radish now is fleishig. You cannot eat that radish with milk. Dipping it into sour cream would be aser. That's the yishayimrim, and we're going to see that is how the Ramah paskins. Namar writes that clearly in Siman Tzadik Hey, which basically gives us a combination of two different halachas. And this is very important to understand. What happened over there is the two halachas that we learned today. Number one, that a davar charif can transform a sour taste into a good taste. And number two, that it cancels the halacha of not bar na. Both of those things are true when you cut at tznayin. Cutting a radish with a knife has such a strong extracting
force
that it can not only transform the taste which is absorbed into the knife to be tam shvach, it can also cancel the halacha of not bar na. Now, if you look a little further on the source sheet, in source number 16, tavlin shenidoich b'meducha shabasar, spices that were ground up in a grinder. It's kind of like a
pestle.
Mortar and pestle. You grind it up in there. The halacha is ben yoimai asr lechem b'chalav. Those spices now cannot be added to your pizza. You take a grinder. You grind up spices. The grinder was used for meat previously. You grind up spices there. You can no longer use those spices for your pizza. Ramah says, "Yeshem rafilu ein ben yoimai." Ramah says, even if it's not a ben yoimai. Okay. Now in Sif Bey's, he starts talking about garlic and onions and krishin, and so on and so forth. The question becomes: what is a davar charif? What's considered in halacha to be a davar charif? We have a couple more minutes. I'm going to mention a machlokes between the Beis Meir and the Prima Gadim. The Beis Meir He says as follows. He says that the chumrah of dvarim charifim, of davar charif, does not apply to anything on a lower level than tznayin. And clearly, we see in Shulchan Aruch that at least in Shulchan Aruch's understanding, onions and garlic have a lower level of charifus, of sharpness, than a radish. Now, we may not find that to be the case now, but apparently that is how it was. The radishes, obviously, were stronger. I don't want to go there. I'd rather not say that, because then we'll have a problem. But ultimately, what he says, what the base mayor says is that we're not going to combine these two chumras to cancel the din of nap or not, and to cancel and to say that the taste becomes a mechayi leila shvach, the sour taste becomes a good beneficial taste when it's anything which is on a lower level of charifus, of sharpness, than a radish. Now, he agrees l'chatchila, you should not use a sakin eini ben yomai, a fleshig knife, which is not a ben yomai, to cut an onion to be added into a dairy dish. But b'diyeved, he will be matarit. B'diyeved, he says it's fine. Why? Because this halacha, that you're going to take, that davar charif cancels the din of nap bar nat, and it says even though the flavor is so weak, the flavor becomes strong with the davar charif, and that a tam pagum becomes a tam shevach, a good flavor. Those two things are not going to be true, but anything on a lower level than it's nine than a radish. So this is something which needs to be kept in mind. We generally treat onions as a davar charif. That's the classic example that's always given as a davar charif, as a sharp food. Now the truth is that it's not the classic example. And even though they can be sharp, and they are sharp, eventually your eyes will start tearing if you don't use a good knife when you're cutting them. But the fact of the matter is, it's not the classic example. Of course, we treat it like a davar charif l'chatchila, but b'di'eved, we would not asur a food because of that. In other words, if you were to take an example, you take an onion and you cut it with a fleshig knife and then you put it into a milchig pan, there's no problem. B'di'eved. The Prima Gadim disagrees. Prima Gadim says that's not true. In Prima Gadim, he quotes the Rabbeinu Yechiel, and he goes on in the last line of source number 18, he says, L'inyan dina, ein lahakel af b'krein v'shar dvarim charifim ki kefi anira krein ubetzolim charifim yoyser mitznayin v'af she'ein zechreach b'kol vakoim nira likein. The Prima Gadim disagrees with the base mayor. So the base mayor is one who says that we're talking about an onion. And clearly, the base mayor writes onion. If you see in source number 17, he writes, in the second line, rak lachosh lo lechatchila, avol b'diyeved, kegoyin, b'midi d'shkiach, by a normal case, shechatchu b'tzalam, a person cut onions, b'sakin chalevas with a milchig knife, v'nosnu b'kedeir shal basar, you put them into a fleshig pot, the mistama hasakin eini ben yomim b'blias kliya rishayin, we can assume the knife is not a ben yomim, because the kaimel and stam kelim eini ben yomim. And then, B'diyeved says the Beis Meir will be mutter. So according to Beis Meir, that would be mutter. According to the Prima Gadim, that would be usser. Now, this is something which is disputed amongst Rabbanim in different cities, different states, different areas, different yeshivas. There's different minhagim with regard to how we paskin. Do we go with the Beis Meir? Do we not go with the Beis Meir? Generally speaking, in a very, very general, broad way of categorizing this, in Eretz Yisrael, they're much more machmer with this. In America, for the most part, they are make it with this, and they go with this base mayor to say that we're going to consider an onion to be a davar charif lechatchila, but b'diyeved will only consider it to be a davar charif for one thing. It's a davar charif to the point that it will cancel nap or not, but only by isakin ben yomei. In other words, we're not going to consider it b'diyeved to be a davar charif to go ahead and cancel ben yomei, and as well take something which is nice at tam lefgam and be mechayile the shvach to turn it into a good flavor. That's generally how we'll paskin. And again, lechatchila, don't cut an onion with a fleishig or milchig knife, be used with the opposite one. B'di'eved, if you've already done it, we're not going to say that we're going to cancel the din of naparnan and add the concept of mechayile the shvach.